What Mark Sundin did was innocent enough. He accepted an offer from a publisher to write a travel book about bullfighting in Spain. The book was to be called Toro. It was after that things began to go off the rails. You see, Mark squandered the book advance and never made it to Spain. He actually never even wrote the book. Instead, he wrote a fake documentary about Toro called The Making of Toro. And Strange Champs caught up with Mark Sundin to talk about The Making of Toro. But first, here's the dust jacket description of the greatest book that never existed, Toro, written by Sundin's alter ego, the swashbuckling Travis LaFrance.
Ernest Hemingway, Pablo Picasso, great artists and great men, united by a passion for fine women, high adventure, and la fiesta brava. In Toro, encounters with men and bulls, an aficionado's odyssey from Tijuana to Madrid, falconer Travis LaFrance takes us on a voyage through the 21st century remnants of the Spanish Empire in search of the flickering flame of manhood imported from Iberia 5 centuries ago. His quest begins in Tijuana, the northernmost outpost of the Kingdom of Carlos, where the blood of the bulls mingles with the sweat of the laborer on his journey toward El Norte. Making his way by train, burro, and thumb through the dusty villages, lured by cold cerveza and strong tequila and lusty señoritas, the ever-hardy LaFrance blends the drama and artistry of the bull ring with his rich tales of love and loss, and reveals that yes, beyond that familiar realm of the starched shirt pencil pushers, in a land more primitive and passionate than his own, there does yet exist a small yet robust sample of that endangered species known as man.
Mark, that's a description of Toro, the book you didn't publish. And we're talking about the book you did publish called The Making of Toro. You want to tell us the difference between the two?
Well, I guess the main difference is that the book that I was contracted to write, called Toro, I never actually wrote. And I instead wrote what I guess you'd call a fake documentary about writing this book.
You really were contracted to write a book about bullfighting?
I was, though I thought it would be much more interesting to make fun of what I was supposed to write.
And the fake documentary about the book is supposed to be written by a guy named Travis LaFrance.
Right.
Who's he?
Travis LaFrance is, is sort of, you know, obviously Ernest Hemingway, but then also this culture of kind of fake masculinity that came after Hemingway that was, you know, the sort of like James Michener and, you know, the men's magazines of the 60s and, you know, Argosy magazine. And these things were, to be manly, you had to be not only, like, incredibly rugged and, like, you know, be a falconer and, you know, you could probably use a crossbow, but then you'd also be sort of, like, sensitive and quote poetry and be literary and, you know the difference between, like, different cognacs and stuff like that.
Concerning El Mundo Latino, Travis LaFrance would discover that Mexico is a land rich in romance and history, where if you close your eyes at night, you can hear the footsteps of the Maya padding barefoot across the desert. Same goes for Spain. Like Travis, the Latinos are a people governed by primeval passion, spirit, and tradition, uncorrupted by the materialism of the Norte Americanos. Travis would choose a burro and a serape any day over a stucco duplex with 2.5 bathrooms. And concerning bullfighting, Travis would discover an ancient ritual almost indecipherable to Americans. Half artist and half athlete, the bullfighter combines bravery with finesse, strength with dance. We Americans, who come from such a superficial culture, might consider the Fiesta Brava gruesome or barbaric, but who are we to criticize? Maybe if Americans had a healthy outlet for our repressed bloodlust and a more natural acceptance of cycles of life and death, Travis will wryly note, maybe then we wouldn't be always shooting each other with machine guns at the post office.
Now, there's a fair amount of about actual bullfights in this and bullfights in Mexico. Did you yourself, the person sitting in that chair, actually make it to Mexico and really see some bullfights?
Oh, yeah, yeah. My own trip down to Mexico is obviously, you know, the rough frame of what happened here, or what I wrote about, rather. But, you know, my idea was that I basically wrote about a lot of real events and things I encountered, but wrote about them through this fictional narrator.
Yeah, but it gets a little confusing at times because there's Travis, the fictional narrator, and then there's the fictional narrator, and then there's you, the author.
And there's me, who, exactly.
So there's hidden three, in there somewhere, too.
Three layers of narrator here.
Well, this is very postmodern.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, Travis would, of course, think that postmodernism was some sort of smarty pants things for like college professors.
My art is my life, and VersaVice, says Travis LaFrance more than once in the pages of Toro, coining what will likely become the mantra of his generation. He is the envy of every man who has aspired to live by a code of courage and beauty. He walks the soil, shooting tequila and bedding maidens and tempting death, then writes it all down and cashes the checks. And just as the artist must spread the paint and the matador must court the bull in order to answer his creative calling, Travis LaFrance must always feel on his wrist the lacy fingers of a daring and exotic female.
Now, Travis wouldn't be a Hemingway-esque character without being a ladies' man also. There's some women who show up in the book. One of them is Carmen, a girl bullfighter.
Mm-hmm.
Is Carmen real?
Yes. You know, composite. not pure fiction. Definitely a... based on someone I met down there.
Mm-hmm. What's she like?
She was a high school senior who practiced with the old bullfighters at a park in Mexico City. And she was surprisingly as conventional a girl as I've ever met. You know, she wore like a Nike sweatsuit while she practiced. And I don't know, I think she was planning to go to college and study accounting or marketing. And, seemed to have none of this sort of like exotic, sort of mythical aura that we associate with bullfighters. So, of course, Travis sort of turns her into something she isn't.
My Carmen is uncorrupted by modernity, pulsing with blood more pure and rich than those anemic American girls bottle fed with computers and career counseling. She picked up the sword. I watched how her delicate fingers gripped the handle and my imagination convulsed. Disempowered by Mexican patriarchy, Carmen is drawn to the sword for the phalloerotic strength it embodies. Killing bulls releases not only her feminist rage, but also her untapped sexual fury, and each thrust of the sword whips her into a primal frenzy.
Now, the ear of the bull has a kind of mythic significance, I guess. I mean, in traditional bullfights, maybe in Hemingway's Death in the Afternoon also, but Travis, at any rate, decides that there's going to be some significance to the ear of the bull.
And the sun also rises. The bullfighter gives Brett Ashley the ear from the bull he's killed. This is very... And traditionally, you know, they give them to the president of the country or their sort of patron, or, you know, it's a very rich and symbolic thing to give someone the ear, especially if it's like the first bull you killed. So Travis sets out, you know, to engineer a situation in which this woman will give him the ear.
Travisito, she whispers, wiping the blood from her brow. Her hair is pulled back beneath the derby hat. Her breast heaves beneath the suspenders of her traje corto. She stands in a heap of roses in the empty bull ring.
You have known many women, and I am just a girl.
Quiet, my little rabbit, says Travis LaFrance.
Soon you will return to your homeland in El Norte, and you will forget about the little girl named Carmen who fights bulls.
I shall not forget thee, rabbit.
Take me back with you, Travisito. I will be good and do all that you instruct me.
Why not marry her? Mr. and Mrs. Travis LaFrance of Moab, Utah. It's pretty to think about it now, but that which we do is never as pretty as that which we think about. It's all nada anyhow. Nada, y nada, y pues nada. Kiss me, child,
says Travis LaFrance.
With you, Travisito, I felt the earth fall away beneath me.
I felt it too, little rabbit.
Then take this,
she moans. She presses the bull's ear into his palm.
Today, it is warm and filled with blood, like my heart.
Was it hard to let go of Travis LaFrance and your narrator? Will they have other adventures?
Yeah, you know, I've actually... Travis has already resurfaced at travislafrance.com, in which he sometimes has other adventures. He attended both the Democratic and the Republican conventions. Some among his adventures were he went to a Republicans-only singles party that was part of an online dating service. Travis showed up with the ambition of, you know, seducing young Republicans, as he called them.
Any chance we're going to see Travis on the big screen at some point?
Don't have any offers, but, you know, he's certainly willing to negotiate.
He seems like somebody with some life left in him.
Mm-hmm.
The desert night is as still and quiet as a freshly killed carcass. Not a light, not a sound, not even a noise. Somewhere south of here, across La Frontera, a Mexican owl hoots.
Vámonos,
I say to Rosinante, draping the blanket across her bony back.
Time to go.
The burro's ears perk up as the owl hoots again.
I don't know, Roxy. Who do you think he's talking to?
We ride along in the darkness. We don't know where we're going, but we damn sure know where we've been. There's no turning back now. The owl beckons us thither, southward. Ask not for whom the owl hoots, Travis. It hoots for thee.
Mark Sundin is the author of the book called The Making of Toro, and Strange Chimps book with him.